I tell you, time really flies. It was all the way back on October 1, 2010, that the Boys and Girls Clubs of the Big Bend had Teresa Ann Fleury take over as the new president and chief executive officer. You know, there were, what, somewhere around, I think, how many people applied for that job? Many, 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 and you kind of rose to the occasion and took over what at that time was an organization that had more than its share of challenges. And ever since, you've kind of been flying under the radar, and that's why, Teresa Fleury, I really wanted you to come on to Perspectives this morning and give us an update on the Boys and Girls Club at the Big Bend, what's been going on, where you are, where you'd like to go, and just to kind of get acquainted with our listenership, who you are. I think you'll find her some really, really delightful people. So on Perspectives this morning, please, everyone, welcome Teresa Ann Fleury, the president and executive director of Boys and Girls Club of the Big Bend, to Perspectives. Great to have you here.
Thanks for having me.
So what has been going on here since you took over this deal?
We have been doing amazing things. And of course, I have to tell you, it's been a real joint effort between our board, who's really been great. The staff is amazing. We have the best staff. And it's been a joint effort, and the community has really helped. And I think everybody realizes how important our youth are and how important the Boys and Girls Club of the Big Bend is to helping those youth.
There are so many programs that are out there, and every time there's – whether it's, oh, there's too much graffiti in town, or there may be gang activity or anything else, there are task forces, and you have community partnerships that are formed and forums and workshops and all that kind of thing. But this organization has been just very quietly percolating along since the Civil War. That just seems incredible. What's some of the history really behind the organization, Teresa?
It started out with a need for – at first it was boys really needing to have a place to go after school where not only could they improve their education but really get the qualities that we want, you know, young people to have when they grow up to be responsible adults, and really focusing on health and safety and just well-being all around.
And I think it was, just one lady in Hartford, Connecticut who saw some kids hanging out on the street corner and thought, well, we got to give these guys something to do to
right.
keep them out of trouble. And that's kind of how the whole thing began. So kids were even hanging on the corner and getting into trouble back in the Civil War era.
Well, that's right. And, you know, you talk to law enforcement or professionals in child development, and they'll tell you that the bewitching hour, so to speak, for children and young adults is really the time from – you know, when they're released from school to the time that their parents get home from work. And so that's why we are open. We pick the kids up from school, and they're with us until their parents pick them home or pick them up from the club and take them home.
You know, you had been operating, I think, in a multitude of counties. And I remember – and I think Buddy Strait is still with you. He was your predecessor there.
Yeah, no, he's no longer with us. He's actually in Philadelphia and had opened up a charter school.
Oh, my gosh. I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, how's he doing? You hear from him?
He's doing well.
He's such a cool guy. But I remember when he left, I was over there, in fact, for the media event at your headquarters when – it was like so many organizations, you kind of expand a little bit too fast for the resources available, and it was time to pull everything back in. So exactly what is the status here with the club? Where do you operate, and how many kids do you serve?
We currently have four clubs, two in Leon County, one at the Greg McRae, which is on the south side of town off Laura Lee Avenue, one in Miccosukee, two in Gadsden County, one at that we work out of the Havana Elementary School, and one in Chattahoochee. And we're averaging about 300 kids a day. You know, when we did have 17 clubs, it was thousands of kids every day. So we're hoping, you know, be responsible. And my goal is next year that maybe we'll be able to expand back, maybe in the Fort Braden or the Jefferson County area.
By the way, 414-1234 is the number to call. If you maybe you have had experience with the Boys and Girls Club, that organization, whether here or elsewhere, and you'd like to share that with us, 800 926-8809 is the long distance number if you're outside the local Tallahassee calling area. We also have an email too, which is perspectives@wfsu.org. And if you're just joining us, Teresa Fleury, who is the Lord High Chief Honchoette, if you will, the Boys and Girls Club of the Big Ben.
It's a team effort.
Well, you were talking about the staff. How many paid staff do you have?
I have, including myself, we have 4 part-time people and about 40 we have 4 full-time people, I'm sorry, and about 40 part-time staff. But the part-time staff are full-time with the kids. They don't do anything administrative. They are just 100% with the children.
Okay. I'm a kid. And what's the age bracket we're looking at here?
We take kids from 5 to 18.
Okay. So let's say I'm oh, I love 7th graders because they get into so much trouble. Back when I was a teacher, full disclosure here, they were delightful 1st through 5th grade. 6th, you're kind of getting antsy. And, man, by the time they hit 7th grade, you know, you just want to smack them. But the hormones are running and they have so much energy and everything else. They're great kids, but they can be a real handful. So let's just say that I'm a 7th grader. I get picked up from my middle school and brought to one of your clubs. What can I expect to do once I get there?
Well, the first thing they do, we have power hour and they have to do their homework. And if they do not have homework, then we give them reading or something to do that is educational. Part of being a Boys and Girls Club member is we have to have their report cards. The parents have to have a release. And then not only do we see how they're doing in all subjects, but especially those areas where they may need extra help, we focus tutoring and extra help, especially in those areas. And after power hour, there's a snack. Sometimes they do the snack before power hour. But we also have sports teams with the YMCA, whether it's flag football, cheerleading, soccer. We're currently in basketball. We're going to have baseball. They're also, we also have gang prevention, drug prevention programs. We focus a lot. The 3 main areas really is health and fitness, education, and community service. And all of the members, every month, the club has to do at least 1 community service project. But besides that, we have our drumline or stick patrol that if you've ever been to an FSU women's basketball game, they're probably the most popular halftime show. And we've also started wind instruments, and our Chattahoochee Club is also learning to play the violin. So we're really trying to give more of a well-rounded kind of perspective, especially in those areas where schools may not be able to do it so much because of cutbacks. But really focusing on what I love the most is we do not have to turn any child away. And if a child has been in trouble legally, we still accept them. You know, we help them. We have a great staff, and we have confidence in the staff that we're really going to help all children.
I saw your drum line over at the Dade Street Community Center. The city of Tallahassee was doing a big whoop-de-doo because of the energy conservation program they'd been getting out into low-income neighborhoods. The drum line hit the floor, and the place went berserk. They are awesome. How do you teach the kids to drum that well?
Let me tell you, Deshaun Hollis is our music teacher, and he is amazing because those children are not just kind of learning to play the drums, but they are actually learning to read music. He has them, you take sheet music, you know, for a guitar, and he'll change it to, you know, for the drums, and he'll explain to the kids how they do it. And the kids have to have good grades, and the kids have to be there to practice. And it's, you know, it's a discipline too. But, I mean, it's just amazing what he has those kids to do. And he's also doing the wind instruments. The brass instruments.
God, that was remarkable because as an old drummer myself, I know that when you're doing it on your own, it's one thing. But when you are in an ensemble and you're trying to do an orchestrated piece like your group does, it is really, really tough. And the precision and the discipline and yet the enjoyment that the kids were getting out of it was just so obvious. So terrific, terrific job on that drum line.
Yeah,
there.
I mean, we are so fortunate to have Deshaun. And they were able to take a trip to Alabama this past year. And the drum line was for a camp, for a weekend camp. And they had raised the money, you know, themselves. And on the way back, they stopped at Miles College. And one of our young men who's on the drum line, who also goes to Rickards, was offered a 4-year scholarship on the spot because their band director had seen them play at this band camp. So for people to say, oh, yeah, that's a really great drum line. I mean, kids, you know, get scholarships and go on to higher education for the music. So we're very proud of that.
There are lots of success stories out of your organization like that, though. Can you share some of those with us?
Well, not only do we started an I'm Perfect program, and we are very, very proud of this. And we started it this year, and it wasn't my idea. I got it from somebody else, and we challenged our kids to really have perfect attendance at school. And if they had perfect attendance at school, we would take them to Disney World for 2 days in the summer. I know my little girl loves Disney World, and for many of my members, you know, they don't even really get out of their own neighborhoods. But a real success is we're past the halfway point, and we still have over 123 kids that have perfect attendance at school, which, you know, that's 31%, 32% of our kids. And I challenge any other organization, you know, you tell me how 30% have perfect attendance. And not only, you know, our goal really is if we can get them to go to school, then they will learn. And that's what's so important. And it's a little bit heartbreaking because we have about 30 kids that have just one absence, you know, but still, I think that's huge. You know, our kids, we've not had a teen pregnancy at our Greg McRae Club, which I think is outstanding. And our goal this year is really that every child is going to be on grade level by the end of the school year. But just hearing parents talk about how their children's demeanors have changed, they become much more responsible. What I think is really telling about our children is every year, shop with a cop. We get Tallahassee Police Department and Target, and they shop with a cop. And probably 85% of our kids do not buy anything for themselves. They buy it for family members or for their mom. And the fact that they get a chance to go and buy something for themselves and they recognize the importance of giving back to others is amazing to me.
That number of kids that you have going to Disney, if they maintain that attendance, that's almost three busloads.
I know. Isn't that wonderful? You know, I have to tell you, I've had people say, gosh, Teresa, aren't you worried about that? And I tell them, you know, what a wonderful thing to be worried about. I mean, think of how proud those kids are going to be of themselves, that they did something that's, you know, right now 70% of our members couldn't do. And I don't know what the perfect attendance rate is for Leon schools or Gadsden County schools, but 31% is pretty darn good, I think.
Well, not only in school, but I'm thinking of all the workplaces here. That was a big deal at yesterday's Working Well CEO breakfast that was over at the Turnbull Center, talking about how to improve employee wellness so that we reduce sick days and improve attendance and productivity and all that kind of thing. So it's not just in school, it's everywhere. So maybe we should send more people to Disney or something.
Or the Boys and Girls Club.
There we go. 414-1234, 800-926-8809. Teresa Fleury with the Boys and Girls Club of the Big Bend, our guest on Perspectives today, and we'll be right back. Boys and Girls Club. I remember seeing those public service ads on TV, even when I was growing up. What a great organization it was. And, of course, the emphasis back there was on boys. Teresa Fleury, by the way, who is the president and executive director of the Boys and Girls Club of the Big Bend, with us this morning on Perspective. When did girls get added into the mix, Teresa? Yeah, do you know? I should have pulled that up because I had the whole history here.
I want to say it was about 30 years after they began.
Yeah, not too long. Yeah. Mm-hmm. What is, to your way of thinking, what is the biggest problem facing today's kids, at least the ones that you see here that are taking advantage of the program here in Leon and Gadsden County?
Well, the majority of my kids are below poverty level or come from single-parent families, and I think probably the biggest challenge facing them is really believing. you know, having the confidence that they can really kind of move out of their circumstances and really be successful in life, that there's, you know, there's nothing they can't do. And while the majority of my kids may come from single parent homes, I mean, my parents are working very, very hard. They're working, you know, in a lot of cases, two or three jobs, and they don't necessarily have the support system that, let's say, I do or the rest of my family does. And so we really look at it like I tell people all the time, my kids, our kids, they're amazing. They have as much potential as anybody else. It's just they don't necessarily have the opportunities or they get to experience those opportunities where they can reach that potential. So we really view it as it's our responsibility to give them as many positive experiences they can, to really give them hope. I mean, it's not just a tagline, you know, hope for a positive future, but really giving the kids hope that they can be whatever they want to be, and that they know that someone is there for them who cares for them and loves them and has the confidence in them that they can be great.
When you talk about poverty, it's what I think I'm hearing you say is it's not just the lack of money or the lack of a nice car or a pretty house, but the lack of experiencing different people, different situations, just a wide variety of stuff that maybe other folks who are a bit more affluent, in the money sense anyway, take for granted.
Exactly. And, you know, I think some people may say Disney World, you know, well, my kid, you know, when my kids don't even get out of their own neighborhoods, you know, they don't know what's out there necessarily. And I know in years past, before I got there, the Boys and Girls Club, we were able to take a group from Jefferson County to Atlanta for a weekend. And just eye-opening experience that it's a big, wonderful world. And if you work hard and you do the right thing, you're going to be able to experience these same wonderful opportunities too. And that's what we try to show them and teach them.
Yeah, what is it like to be in the same neighborhood or just the same geographical area day after day, week after week, year after year?
I can only imagine. You know, and many of my kids, and again, our families are wonderful. But in the summertime, we feed them breakfast and lunch. And for a lot of those kids, it's the only meal they get all day. Sometimes they go to school hungry or they don't have lunch because of lack of resources. And, you know, my staff, my family will be the first to tell you, I get hungry. I get really cranky and I don't want to do anything. And I can't imagine being a young child and going to school and being hungry and being expected to learn and have just, you know, have positive experiences.
Well, you've got a handful, as you said before, of full-time staff. You got about 40 part-timers there. I would suspect, though, that you're relying on some other folks to help you out, aren't you?
Oh, let me just tell you, we have the best volunteers. Florida State University, the fraternities and the sororities and the athletic teams have just really been outstanding. I think one day we had over 100 FSU students there. Another day, 60 FSU students. FAMU has been wonderful. We definitely wouldn't be able to do what we do without our volunteers. Former Chief Justice Harry Anstead comes every Wednesday, and he plays basketball with the kids. And those kids have no idea that he, you know, was the Chief Justice of Florida Supreme Court. They just know him as, you know, Mr. Harry, and he plays basketball with us, and he does art projects with us. Yeah, we definitely wouldn't be able to do it, but I mean, I'll put my staff up against any. I have the most amazing staff, but it really does take a village, you know, to help these kids.
What do you really need right now?
Well, I think that's like everyone else, funding. But we are doing so much better. We've had great partnerships. Our annual fundraiser is February 16th. It's our kids' soiree, and it's celebrating our 20th anniversary here in the Big Bend. And in those 20 years, we've helped tens of thousands of kids, and our goal is to, you know, be here for another 20 years and help tens of thousands more. We're also, Bow Stern has kicked off or is kicking off at our soiree a big campaign, fundraising campaign, where we're just asking for $20 from people for 20 years. And really the 2020, we have a perfect vision for these kids and we have a very clear vision for our future. So Bow Stern's been wonderful. But the soiree, I know people would have a wonderful time. Mr. and Mrs. Anstead are supporters, and Rady, the Rady Law Firm, Comcast and the Florida Lottery. I mean, the Tallahassee Democrat. We've just really had people step up and are recognizing the wonderful things that we're doing.
Just in case anyone wants to take advantage of what sounds like a great evening there for the kids' soiree on February 16th, how do they get tickets?
They can either go to our website, www.bgcbb.org, or they can call us at 656-8100. We'll have tickets at the door. It's at the Moon. The Moon has donated their facility for us. And Longinus Parsons is also going to play. He's a great jazz musician who's at FAMU. And the kids perform, and they show what they've done. The kids are even making our centerpieces for us. So it's just a real highlight on the kids and to really thank the community for supporting us.
Oh, that is great. Well, we'll make sure that that gets on our calendar here. We have a call on the line. Carl, right here in Tallahassee, giving us a ring on Perspectives. Hey, Carl.
Well, I guess you've already dealt with it because my question was, how is the program funded?
Well, I'm very proud to say that we're much more diverse now. We do have private grants, state grants, some federal grants, and we do fundraisers and donations.
Any help from United Way on this?
Yes, United Way is absolutely wonderful to us. We are a United Way agency and part of the CHSP process, where we also get money from the city and the county. And in fact, in Gadsden County, we actually got a 50% increase in United Way monies because they recognized all the good things that we're doing with our kids in Gadsden County.
Wow, that's remarkable, particularly given the state of finances and the economy and everything else that's been going on there. Was that really just – we talked about the too great an expansion here, but how do you see this evolving now as you try to kind of – grow the little pebble in the pond and see those ripples spread out a little bit more?
You know, I have to tell you, we get calls every day asking us, can you pick up from this school? You know, my child goes here. Can you pick up from this school? Can you open a club here? Can you come to this county? And as much as we'd love to do that, we also have to be fiscally responsible in order to do that. And so, you know, our goal the first year was let's really stabilize, which we've done, and we're really moving forward, and we have a lot of momentum. And this year, it's, you know, even we've increased our programming. And again, next year, my goal is maybe we can open up that club. But, you know, it's hard to turn children away. We don't. You know, if a child cannot afford to pay, then they're not turned away. But it's hard to say no to those people who want us to start opening up more clubs. I can understand why we got into the situation, because we want to help kids. You know, you don't work at the Boys and Girls Club if you don't want to help kids.
Sure, yeah. And how do you say no? I can't imagine that.
I know. The hardest thing is when a parent calls and says, my child goes to this school. Can you please pick him up for me? And because, you know, I'd love to have another van. If somebody has a van out there and they want to donate it to me so I can pick up more kids. Yeah, it is difficult.
How do you work with the school districts in that regard? There's got to be some dovetailing or something that goes on there. I mean, as far as the programs are concerned, since you pick them up from the school, you obviously do that with the full advice and consent of the school districts.
Right, so. And also the parents. The parents have to sign a release. And the school districts are, you know, great, and they get the kids out to the bus stops. And we have I know one of our unit boards out in Miccosukee. The principal from Roberts Elementary is on our unit board, and she has been fabulous trying to get kids, you know, to the Boys and Girls Club in Miccosukee and trying to develop partnerships.
It's something like teen mentoring or something. You've got programs along that line?
Yes, we have a huge mentoring program, and in fact, FSU Athletics is really joining with us. Yesterday we did a training with the Bat Girls from FSU and the soccer teams involved, and it's going to be where we also get to help. We take the kids to the university to receive some of the mentoring, again, exposing them to that university life to get them interested in wanting to go on to school after they graduate high school.
Because otherwise, who else would take them over and drop them off on campus, you know?
All right.
Well, you had an interesting background, too, as a public defender. How do you move from that into they hear a nonprofit, a helping organization? How did that come about?
I have to tell you, I loved being an assistant public defender. I was an assistant public defender in Miami and here in Tallahassee. But I learned very, very quickly that well over 90% of my clients, adult clients, would never have been sitting there in that chair next to me if somebody had spoken up for them when they were a child or shown them that they had the ability to do more than what they thought they could do. And I really wanted to make a difference. And I think that if we really want to make a difference, you got to help kids. You know, people say all the time, well, kids are our future. You know what? They're our present. They're our past. They're our future. I mean, kids are so important. And I know I was very lucky. My dad was a school teacher. We were not wealthy by any stretch of the imagination. But I always had somebody there. And, you know, my kids don't necessarily have that. And, again, it's not because their mom or dad doesn't want to be there. It's just that they're really struggling themselves to make ends meet.
A couple months ago, we had, former juvenile circuit judge Charles McClure sitting in that same seat that you're in right now. And he was talking along the same lines of how just about all of the adult pathologies that we see have their beginnings so much earlier than any of us thought. Maybe they fell in with bad companions, as we used to say, you know, like back in middle school or high school or something. But really, you can take it almost to the preschool era that sets the stage for a lot of this stuff to happen. And that's got to make it tough on you guys because you can't get to them that early.
Well, we get to them at 5. And again, you'd like to make sure that they're gotten to even earlier. But I know that they're even looking at gang prevention in elementary schools now. And I think gangs, and I'm not saying gangs are great, please don't misunderstand me. But again, that was an area where kids feel to be part of something. And that's why I think the Boys and Girls Clubs are so important, because we strive to be in those neighborhoods that really need us most, the ones that are the poor neighborhoods, and we pick them up because we want them to belong to the Boys and Girls Club, have that same sense of belonging, but in a very positive atmosphere as opposed to some of those negative influences that a gang may have.
Okay, so you're kind of like a good gang.
Yes, we are a good gang. A very good gang.
There was a theory a psychologist friend of mine always espoused, which was, if there is a need, if there is a human need, we are going to meet it one way or another. And when it comes to the need of young people for companionship, for affirmation, for someone to pat them on the back, say, yeah, you done good, support, a feeling of belonging, and all of that, if they're not getting it one place, they're going to get it in another, and it usually won't be a very good outcome.
That's right. And, you know, that was one of the areas why I'm so thankful to the YMCA for letting us have Boys and Girls Club teams, because, you know, sports were very important in my family because, again, it's that sense of belonging. And I didn't want my members, because they couldn't necessarily get to the city league because their parents didn't have transportation, to be at school and hear other kids talking that I have a game tonight or I'm on this team, and they couldn't say the same thing. So it was very important to us that, no, they belong too. Not only do they belong to the Boys and Girls Club, but they belong to the soccer team or the football team or the baseball team.
Has it made it more difficult because, given the budget crunch that so many of our public schools are facing right now, a lot of those extracurricular activities are pay for play. And so you don't have schools being perhaps as much a center of activity for young people as they used to because they just can't afford to
right.
do
and
this.
And again, we're really trying to pick up in those areas where the schools, through no fault of their own, can't anymore. And through fundraising and some very hard work, we've been able to pay the fees, you know, for the Y. The Y gives us a discount, and we've been able to do that. We've got cheerleading uniforms now for our McRae cheerleaders. And, you know, people kind of think, oh, well, cheerleading, it's what the girls wanted. You know, my next quest, and I've been saying it forever, is I really want a volleyball net, you know, for my girls. Two young ladies on my street, the Chin girls from Leon High School, got volleyball scholarships, you know, to go to four-year university. And I said, my girls have that talent too. And again, it's just giving them something positive to do, and it could lead to higher education.
My gosh, I think it's hard for a lot of us to realize just how badly strapped schools have been because we grew up at perhaps a little bit more affluent time as far as funding was concerned. You had all of this stuff, whether it was the school newspaper or the yearbook staff or the Latin club or this, which I think Leon still has.
Yes.
but a whole plethora of other stuff that you could do after school. It was almost as busy a time as when classes were in session. And now you come to a lot of public schools, you know, after 3:30 in the afternoon, and it's like everything's locked up and everyone's gone. And that's where you guys come in.
Right. And, you know, we're trying to get where we can even be open on Saturdays. But we have outdoor basketball courts at the Greg McRae Center, and we're putting in a baseball field. And I would love for kids to be able to use those facilities on the weekends as well. I mean, they're kids. They need a place to go and have fun and not just necessarily sit in front of the television and play video games, but be outside and enjoying and just being kids.
Oh, I noticed something that happened, just yesterday. We'll probably hear about it, on Capitol Report before the end of the week, that there is a bill now working its way through the Florida legislature that would allow kids to use public school playgrounds and other facilities after school. Because we know a lot of schools have had to padlock this just because of, you know, litigation and liability and all that sort of thing. It would hold the schools harmless so that kids could go back into the playgrounds and make use of that. That would probably be helpful too, I would imagine.
Yes. And how sad is it that it takes legislation for us to be able to do that? But again, because the schools had the liability. But yeah, education is very important, and we focus on education. But I think it's also important for everyone to remember how important play is for kids. Sometimes I think we forget to let kids be kids. We see that they get all of these other, you know, exposures to, you know, the internet and just everything. And sometimes I think we think they're older or more mature than they really are, and they need to be kids. They need to play.
Yeah. But also we're afraid because the world is a dangerous place, particularly in the neighborhoods that some of these kids grow up in. You know, you go out and play. That could be a death sentence for some
right.
of these kids.
They really need to have a safe place to play. And again, that's where the Boys and Girls Club comes in. You know, we have to do all of the background checks to make sure that our kids are safe. But also what I love about the staff is I can ask any of my staff members about any particular child. I can just point them out. And every staff member can tell me that child's name, his age, where he goes to school, what his family life is like, the child's likes, dislikes, how he's doing in school, if he likes to play sports. I mean, everything about that child. And I think that makes an amazing difference to that child as well.
Oh, absolutely, because everyone wants to be known. You know, if not loved, at mm-hmm. least recognized for who they are and kind of what they bring to the table. What do you bring to the table? Give us a call on Perspectives. We're talking to Teresa Fleury with Boys and Girls Club of the Big Bend, 414-1234, 800-926-8809, perspectives@wfsu.org. We'll be right back. Boys and Girls Club of the Big Bend, and its president and executive director, Teresa Fleury, is what we're talking about and talking with here on Perspectives today. 414-1234, the local number in Tallahassee, 800-926-8809. Have it long distance for you, but it's local for Gail because she's right here in Tallahassee. Hi, Gail.
Good morning, Tom and Teresa. How are you?
Good morning.
I'm really enjoying this, and thanks for having Teresa spotlighted here and the Boys and Girls Club. I would just like to say I've worked with the Boys and Girls Club for, gosh, I think about 13 years now through my Treats for Teens program, and I have seen firsthand all of the ups and downs of the program, and mostly ups, and I cannot thank Teresa enough for everything she's done. This is somebody that truly walks the walk and has done so through, I guess, all the organizations that she's worked with. But it's really been amazing to see this organization grow and prosper. And I can't encourage the community enough to come and observe and get involved and just see these young people. They are so grateful to have people come in and support them, and just get involved with them. It's just really rewarding. And these are great, great kids that families that just need a little help. And it's a fabulous group, fabulous group.
Well, Gail, as long as I got you on the line here, from your perspective, so many things can go wrong in the lives of young people. What, in your opinion, does Boys and Girls Club of the Big Bend do right in dealing with kids?
Well, Tom, I mean, that's a great question. I think that it really provides a safe haven, and as Teresa has pointed out, this isn't something where kids just come and play. They provide a tremendous amount of structure, a tremendous amount of guidance. Kids of all ages are there. I see over the years I've worked with them that I've seen young people, I mean, they develop a lot of confidence. They develop manners, things that, you know, I was a single parent for 5 years. I understand the struggles. And I grew up in a home that was financially a lot of struggles. And families of that nature face a lot of things that those in the middle class and upper class and are financially gifted don't have. And these kids get a lot of things there that they would not receive in maybe their home life or in school. I mean, people have a lot of other challenges. And so they provide that structure, the educational support with the homework centers and those kind of things. They have a great computer center, and having the college students come in and mentor with them and volunteer, giving hope. And I love the fact, I mean, this sounds so minor, but when Teresa came on board, Teresa, I love this about you. The first time I went and met with her, she was wearing a Boys and Girls Club T-shirt. And it kind of, you know, that took me aback because I know she's an attorney. She's, you know, an executive. And I realized that the kids identified, she became part of that family. And she really physically put out an identity of, I'm one of you. I'm here for you. She's in the trenches with these kids. And she came in a time when the organization was really struggling. And she's like, I'm here to lift you up, and I'm here to lock arms, and we're going to do this, and we're going to survive. And that gave those children and those teens a real sense of security, I believe. And it's been a beautiful thing to watch. And I just feel like that if community members realize you could go and just help a little bit, the 20 for 20 is a great thing to do. And it's, I mean, people spend that much on specialty coffees, you know, so, you know, give up a latte.
Yeah, there you go. And Gail, you'll be happy to know that Teresa is wearing a Boys and Girls Club T-shirt even as we speak right now.
That's her uniform. I mean, she's probably saved a fortune on clothes, and she's put it towards 20 for 20.
So. Gail, great talking to you, and thank you so much for your endorsement and kind words there. But probably, I would imagine you could use some more Gales out there, some more cheerleaders, and certainly some folks to bring, whether it's a financial or volunteer support to the organization, right?
Of course. First of all, I don't think we're ever going to find more Gales because she is just amazing and what she has done. But yes, it's like she said, if you come out, and I tell people, don't make an appointment. You know, just come out and see what we're doing. And you know, Gail was very flattering to me, but I have to tell you, it has really been a team effort. I would never have been able to do it without community partners, without the board, without the staff. And, you know, I'm really the lucky one. I get the best job in the world because I get to work with these amazing kids. And I get to see all the potential that they have and see that potential realized.
Well, since you're in a position to see that, and not only in your present iteration as the president and executive director of Boys and Girls Club of the Big Bend, but in your public defender role and all of that, what do you think, well, yeah, money, more time, more personal attention from parents. I mean, kids can use a lot of things, but if you had to identify, say, a top five that could maybe make not only your job easier, but perhaps even put Boys and Girls Club out of business, what do you think that would be?
I really think people investing in children with time, just listening to a child, that child knowing that someone is always going to be there. I can't imagine growing up and having no one tell you that you're smart or that you're beautiful or handsome or talented or that you can be anything you want to be. I can't imagine what it would be like to live in a world where everything is always negative. I can't imagine that. And I think giving a child hope that they can be whatever they want to be as long as they work hard and do the right thing. You know, right is still right and wrong is still wrong. But, you know, if they do slip up, to still be there and give them support and confidence, I think the whole world would be a much better place. Yeah, I'm sorry. I don't mean to sound like Pollyanna. But really, I think just having hope, if these kids were given hope and somebody to really support them, they'd all be amazing.
Yeah, but it's amazing to me that there are so many kids who don't have that.
Well, I'm very proud to say we give the 300, you know, that we see every day at the Boys and Girls Club that hope. And it's just there's so many more children out there that's deserving. And that's why we really need the community's help to reach those thousands of kids that we were one day reaching. That's our goal to really get back, because the more we support and give hope to our kids and make them responsible adults, it really is paid forward. You know, they will help a child. Carlos Alvarez, who's an attorney in town, just elected to Florida College Football Hall of Fame, I believe it was, quoted, you know, he grew up in the Boys and Girls Club in Miami, that it was the coach there that really gave him confidence. Denzel Washington, you know, will tell you that the very first time anybody told him he was smart was at the Boys and Girls Club, and he was probably 12 years old. And it was then that he was like, you know what, I am smart, and look what he's done with his life. So, yeah, I mean, that's our goal, to reach those thousands of kids every day. But unfortunately, we can't do it without the community support. And I realize times are tough for everybody, and that's why we just want $20. You know, if you can give more than $20 a year, great. But and come, and we'll show you what we're doing with that money.
Well, here's an interesting offset. This just came out this morning from an independent study. Everyone's talking about, you know, privatizing prisons and closing them and everything else here in Florida. However, there is still a need for incarceration. And a lot of these kids, regardless of what happens during this legislative session, if there is no positive intervention or influence in their lives, could conceivably, possibly, wind up in the criminal justice system. What is the latest guesstimate of how much it costs to incarcerate someone for a year in our prison system now?
Tens of thousands, I would assume.
Yes. We used to think, oh, maybe it's 18, 20, 25,000. $31,628 is now the national average. You could send that person, you could get them a college education for that.
I know. And, you know, sometimes I think that when we see what some of these children, the neighborhoods in which they live, or the fact that they don't have socks or they're going to school hungry, without us stepping in, and, you know, a lot of people say, well, it's not my responsibility. Well, you know what? It's not the child's responsibility, for heaven's sake. I mean, he's a child. Without somebody stepping in, are we really surprised if they get in trouble? I mean, really? If they have nothing to hope for, why should we be surprised if they get in trouble? And that's what the Boys and Girls Clubs try to prevent. You know, I think it's 90-some percent of our members graduate from high school. And again, that's telling, because the Boys and Girls Clubs nationwide, not just in the Big Bend, but nationwide, we strive to be in those neighborhoods where those statistics are never that high.
No.
You know, 90% of those kids don't graduate from high school, but 90% of our members do.
Yeah. And you can't even find those kind of statistics in affluent, high-end neighborhoods.
Right.
Let's go back to the phones. Lisa is on the line. Hi, Lisa.
Hi. I just wanted to say what a mutually beneficial relationship the Boys Club and Girls Club is. My husband's a high school teacher at Leon, and his Peace Jam group goes out to the garden every Thursday. In fact, they're going today to plant potatoes. And it's not only giving to the kids, which they do a beautiful job out there, but it's also what people in the community get back from being with them. And it's just, I got to go out there and visit them and see the garden, and everybody's just so excited when it's harvest time, and they cook meals, and they've been doing that for 2 years, so the Peace Jam group in town gets the benefit of it, too.
God, that is terrific, Lisa. I wasn't aware of that. Thanks so much for bringing that to our attention. So how does your garden grow there, Teresa?
Let me tell you, and thank you again to the Peace Jam. We have a garden at Miccosukee and at McRae, and we're hoping to do it in Havana and in Chattahoochee. I am amazed at how much joy those kids get out of gardening. And she's right, harvesting. I know last Thanksgiving we cooked the greens and we served it at our Thanksgiving dinner. Those kids love to garden. Yeah, who would have thought? Like, I wouldn't have thought that. But yes, it's hugely successful.
Well, that's on the that is on the cutting edge. NIMS Middle School, I think they're putting in a garden back behind mm-hmm. there. You even have some companies, FBMC, Benefits Management, here in town. They have a corporate garden. They got 8 plots, and they got all kinds of accolades at that wellness breakfast yesterday morning, too. But that is part of this whole thing, too, is getting more experiences, particularly in lower-income neighborhoods, mm-hmm. at places where you don't have fresh fruits and vegetables a lot.
Right.
Which I think I need here to get rid of this head cold. A little bit of vitamin C would sure go a long way right now. In a few moments, the few moments that we have left, anyway, talking to Teresa Fleury with the Boys and Girls Club of the Big Bend, wanted to also get in. Again, if you're just joining us, a little plug for that a 20 for 20 program. If you could talk about that just one more time, Teresa, and what that means as far as providing more resources to your program.
Right. Bob Stern has helped us kick off, or we're going to kick it off at our soiree on February 16th, where it's 2020. $20 for 20 years, and it's where we have perfect vision for our youth. You know, we have a perfect plan for our youth, and we're just asking for $20 from individuals one time a year. It's, you know, I think we all recognize that people are having difficult times right now, but I think it's like Gail said, it's giving up a latte, or I don't even think you can go to the movies for $20 anymore, and what just a difference, what a huge impact it would have on our kids.
Yeah, I don't think you can buy a tub of popcorn for $20 anymore at the cinema. Is that the only fundraiser, though, that Boys and Girls Club of the Big Bend has, or do you have some other opportunities for people to help you out?
Right. The soiree, again, it's February 16th at the Moon, and if anyone's interested in being sponsorships or being a sponsor, they can please call the club at 656-8100. We'll have our second annual golf tournament again in September, which was a huge success our first year. And Todd Sumner, our board finance fundraising chair, just did an awesome job, him and Jay Hansley. And we're trying to springtime Tallahassee. Half of those proceeds will go to the Boys and Girls Club. And just the springtime Tallahassee run to begin with is just a wonderful run. And I can't say enough about Golf Wins because they really partnered with us, and we were one of the recipients of the Turkey Trot this past November. So just little things like that, well, not little, but it's major to us. And then, but the 2020 will be our first campaign where we're going to run it throughout the year, you know, and have the billboards and, you know, really so people see, you know, that they can understand that we really do have a clear vision for our future and just a perfect vision for our kids.
Opportunities for in-kind or volunteers.
Yes.
Talk about those two.
Of course, we can use in-kind donations. The community has been great donating sports equipment, books, televisions, gaming systems. That's great. They can, again, call the club, come by the club, and volunteers. Now, we do a background check on our volunteers because we have to for the safety of our kids. Whether it's 1 hour a month you want to come out and just even play with the kids or, you know, do an art project. We had one gentleman who would bring his dog out every Friday, and the kids loved it. Coming out and exercising or dancing with the kids, reading with the kids. I know Dr. Seuss Week is coming up in March. If they want to come out and just read, you know, for an hour, it can be a one-time volunteer effort. It can be a continuous volunteer effort. But really, while we don't say no to our kids, you know, that everyone can join, we don't say no to volunteers either. So
And we also have that involvement, too, with the PBS Kids Lab, too, because I know Kim's listening down the hall.
Yeah, oh, my gosh. The kids love the PBS Lab. It's a computer program where they're learning math, and the kids are just totally engrossed, and it's disguised learning. They're having a lot of fun, and they're learning at the exact same time. That has just been – Kim is wonderful, and, you know, PBS, that program is just wonderful.
The biggest thing that has always struck me about, again, Boys and Girls Club, the Big Bend, is – even predating that PBS Kids involvement there is the way that you get the learning experience leveraged in through all of these fun things so that you kind of keep those spirits alive, because kids really do want to learn, and that's something I think even maybe some of our professional teachers lose sight of sometimes, because they got so much other stuff that they have to, you know,
they're sponges, they absorb everything.
So they're either going to absorb the good stuff or the bad stuff.
That's
so
right.
So again, the good stuff coming from Boys and Girls Club of the Big Bend. If anyone wants to find out more, what do they do here, Teresa?
Our website is www.bgcbb.org. That's Boys Girls Club Big Bend.org. And please call 656-8100, and we'd be happy to talk with them.
Teresa Fleury, it's been absolutely wonderful having you on Perspectives here this morning. I wish you all the best. That 20 for 20 thing is great. February 16th, the kids' soiree. Please visit the Boys and Girls Club of the Big Bend website to find out more, get the tickets, and all of that. You guys do remarkable work, and we'll check back with you later, see how
Thank
it's
you.
Going. Perspectives is produced by WFSU-FM in Tallahassee. Technical assistance from Taylor Cox and Michael Fleming on the phones and emails. I'm Tom Flanagan. We're going to do some historical investigation next week. We're going back 50 years in time to the era of the Freedom Riders. We will even have an original Freedom Rider to talk to us then, and much more coming up next week right here on Perspectives.
Audio copies of Perspectives are available by calling 1-800-829-8809, extension 358. Log on to WFSU.org for online archives and podcast. Perspectives is a production of 88.9 WFSU-FM, Tallahassee.